1. Praise and glory to God. At that time, Jesus went through the cornfields on the Sabbath. His disciples were hungry and began to pick some ears of corn and eat them. When the Pharisees saw this, they said to him, "Look, your disciples are doing what is unlawful on the Sabbath." He answered, "Haven't you read what David did when he and his companions were hungry? He entered the house of God, and he and his companions ate the consecrated bread, which was not lawful for them to do, but only for the priests. Or haven't you read in the law that the priests on Sabbath duty in the temple desecrate the Sabbath and yet are innocent? I tell you that something greater than the temple is here. If you had known what these words mean, 'I desire mercy, not sacrifice,' you would not have condemned the innocent, for the Son of Man is Lord of the Sabbath." Going on from that place, he went into their synagogue, and a man with a shriveled hand was there. Looking for a reason to bring charges against Jesus, they asked him, "Is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath?" And he said to them, "If any of you has a sheep and it falls into a pit on the Sabbath, will you not take hold of it and lift it out? How much more valuable is a person than a sheep? Therefore it is lawful to do good on the Sabbath." Then he said to the man, "Stretch out your hand." So he stretched it out, and it was completely restored, just as sound as the other. This is the gospel of Christ.
Praise to Christ the Lord.
I'm just asking the... What are they called? We're calling them ushers nowadays, the people who are at the door. I wonder if they could just get some Bibles and hand them out. We're looking at the book of Colossians. Please log online to your Bible. This is not a passive me going to throw food at you. This is requiring some knife and fork work. So please, I'm so sorry. It is going to require a little bit of energy from you. Please open your Bibles. And while you try and find Colossians, I want to tell you something. I have a confession. A confession that actually I'm allowed to speak about in public. I love gadgets. Absolutely love gadgets. If there's something that can make my life easier, I want it. Or if there's something that supersedes something else, I want it. And actually, Facebook is now a marketplace. It used to be a social media network, but actually the heads of Facebook are now becoming more and more concerned because primarily it's used now, not really to connect people, but actually to sell people things. And usually, I ignore the most comfortable slippers in the world sort of things, even though I have to tell you, I really want them. But I did see something, and I actually meant to go and get it. And and bring it to show you, I fell sucker to earplugs. The greatest earplugs known to humanity, apparently. All the sound engineers use them. It will cut out every single noise within a 900-mile radius. It's absolutely brilliant. You can lie beside someone and pretend that they're not even there. You don't need earplugs to do that, by the way. So I tried them, and I was instantly disappointed. Hopefully I'll use them on my flight to Jordan. But actually, we find that actually we have within us, I have within me, a desire for the new. Do you know marketers know that? You are told old is bad, new is good. I remember a friend coming to me and showing me the first ever iPhone. I thought I had a good phone at that point. And then he showed me everything that it could do, and everything within me is going, "I want that." And again, the minute you buy the latest gadget, and let me tell you, friends, it is already obsolete. The latest car will be obsolete. Everything has an inbuilt obsolescence, if that's such a word. Obsolescence. Thank you very much indeed. And obsolescence. That's your word for the day. Say it together. Obsolescence. Oh, what fun. Which just sort of rolls off Romulus and Remus. Lovely words. Rhomboid. But friends, we suffer from FOMO, a fear of missing out. We just want to be in. We want to be efficient. We want the latest thing, in some way hoping that that will make the inner restlessness restful. But actually we find again and again that the latest gadget doesn't fix the deepest hole that's within us. The difficulty with this FOMO is that our desire for novelty spills over into all the rest of our life. It will fill our relationships. Oh, someone's, you know, run off with somebody else, or someone's got this, or someone's got that, or 27 million friends on Facebook, and I'm really missing out. You know, I remember when I first went on Facebook, you sort of were known by how many friends you had. And of course, as we know, a decade later, they aren't friends. And then you get the person who sends you the Facebook status. I'm just sending this to everybody in my address book to see who my true friends are. If you press reply, I'll know you're my friend. Well, I ignore those. But we get that sort of sense of a fear of missing out, of constantly being unsettled. And let me tell you, it spills over if we are not careful into our spirituality and our walk with Christ. It will spill over into our worship. It will spill over into our walk and our relationships with others. Jesus said, God and Jesus, you know, the same thing. So God said, and Jesus said, because the same thing, and God, Jesus, the Holy Spirit, there's the talk of the Trinity for you. In Revelation, he said, behold, I am making all things new. Not behold, I am making new all things. I am making all things new. God is the God who renews that which is good. He's not interested in making something else. He's interested in renewing us. We're in the series on Colossians, friends. It's called Jesus at the Center. Because really, if I could give you one-word sermons over the next 4 weeks, last week the one word was Jesus. This week, it's Jesus. Next week, Jesus. Week after, Jesus. It's all about Jesus. Friends, log in today. Arjit, would you mind standing up for me? Could you stand on your chair? Read his t-shirt. It's not abs, even though I like your abs, Arjit. Thank you very much indeed. But actually, that is the byword for our spirituality, that we log out. And I'm inviting you, log in today, friends. Log in. Colossians chapter 2 is all about logging in. Don't be like Laodicea, friends, who was just up the road from Colossae. Colossae was on the Lycus Valley, in the Lycus River. It was at the end of what seemed to be a dead-end valley. This church grew from a guy called Epaphras. The letter was written about AD 90. And Epaphras came and planted this church. Paul had nothing to do with this church. He'd never visited, and he never will. He gets killed before he gets any chance of going there. He gets killed. He goes to Rome and gets killed. Great story. So Epaphras comes back to Paul, who's in prison in Ephesus, and says, Paul, this is what's going on with the church. There's some great things going on, but Paul is picking up, as a spiritual father, he's picking up some things that are being distracting. And it's the desire for novelty. They are saying, oh, is this Jesus enough? I just want to bolt a few things on to my prayer life. Friends, I want us to log in today. Will you pray with me now that we log in? Will you? Father, log us in. Father, we want to be connected to you. We want to take our walk seriously. We want to be with you. We want to be transformed by you. It's not about us, it's about you. So will you come by your Spirit and transform us? We can't do this harder. We just want to be with you. So Jesus, transform us, we pray. In Jesus' name. Amen. I'm very excited, and I'm going to try not to overrun, but we're going to look through the entire chapter of Colossians chapter 2 and have a look at what Paul is really talking about to the church in Colossae. I want you to know, Paul writes in verse 1, how much I am struggling for you and for those in Laodicea and all who have not met me personally. My purpose is that they may be encouraged in heart and united in love. That's interesting, isn't it? Paul's purpose is, first of all, they're encouraged in heart. We are called to be an encouraging people. We're called to actually call forth that which is good and bring it forth in the kingdom. Do you know, Paul could have beaten them up, but actually he was choosing to show them a better way. That is Jesus. To be encouraged in heart. Friends, if you have a discouraged heart, encourage yourself in the Lord Jesus. If you have a propensity to see the negative, repent. Ask God to transform your eyesight to see that which he is doing, not that which he is not. United, courage and heart, united in love. Unity is always attacked. So that, why? In order to, why? Why do we need to be encouraged? Why do we need to be united? In order that we might have the full riches of the complete understanding, in order that we may know the mystery of God, namely Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Friends, this is going right to the nub of the issue. Mystery is great because it's mysterious. And many people want to find some secret key to becoming a better Christian. This secret bolt-on, this new book, this new this, this new that. If I just behave like this person, maybe I can learn the 5 secret keys of the kingdom. You know, the 5 secret keys of generosity, of releasing prosperity in my life, this latest book or whatever it is. If I just read this, then my spirituality will work. Let me tell you, friends, everything you need to know, everything I need to know is hidden in Christ. This is good news, by the way. Is it? Do you believe that? Well, try and encourage me a little bit. Everything you need is hidden in Christ. You see, this Gnosticism, this secret wisdom that was happening in the life of the church there was all about, oh, I know something that you don't know, and you've got to become really, really good in order to for you to possibly know the real way to advance in your life. There was no secrets to advancement in life, friends. It's a 5-letter word, J-E-S-U-S. Jesus is the way that we advance even without my clicker. Friends, hidden in Christ, Paul writes this, for I don't want you to be deceived by fine-sounding arguments. You know, it's not about the greatest alliterated sermon that you've ever heard in your life. No sermon will fix you. There is no quick fix, no shortcut to Christ, except through the cross. Friends, I'm absent from you in body, I'm present with you in spirit, and delight to see how orderly you are. Great. And how firm your faith in Christ is. You shouldn't end with the word is, should you? A sentence. That's not very good. No, it's not very good at all, Sarah. You don't know. Honestly, you don't. So then, just as you've received Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live in him. Paul is calling the church in Colossae. He's calling the church in Hillsborough. He's saying, through God, God is breathing through Paul's writings. All scripture is is theopneustos. It's God breathed. Everything we read in Scripture is God's word to us. Never take Scripture lightly. What God is saying to us in the book of Colossians is this: grow up into maturity. It's not the grow up that my family tell me to do. Oh, for goodness sake, grow up, Fraser. It's not that kind of grow up. It's not a put down, it's a pull up. Grow into maturity. That is your goal. If you are a teenager, you can be more mature than a 70-year-old in Christ. Our call is that the entire church is built up into maturity. We need to continue to live in Jesus. Live in Him. The nub of maturity is not doing the right things, but being in Christ. It's not serving on the right committees. It's being in Christ. It's learning to dwell in Christ. We dwell in a number of ways, and I might talk about that if I get excited. Our call is to grow in Him. It may be that you started well in Christ. Do you remember the days when actually you first came to Jesus? Or maybe you're just in Jesus now, and you open up Scriptures, and bang, they're hitting you all over the place. It's so exciting. Your life is really being transformed. It's such an exciting point, and maybe you've moved on a bit, and it just feels a bit dry. Friends, that's the opportunity to push in, not to get fed up. Push in to Jesus. Because how you start is great, but Jesus actually isn't interested in how you start. He's interested in how you finish. How are you going to finish in Christ? Are you going to be in Him more than you are in Him now? Or are you going to stay where you are? How's your walk with Him? How's your times of Scripture reading? How's your private worship? Perhaps church is just not doing it for you. It's not, you know. The amount of Christians that I've come across in the decades that say, oh, I'm a Christian, but I don't really go to church. Oh, I don't like church. It doesn't do much for me. Church isn't for you. Church is the body of Jesus. We need to overcome our dissatisfaction because it is our dissatisfaction. Jesus is not dissatisfied with that which He is transforming. Push in. Maybe your youth group isn't exciting as it was. Maybe you've tried life groups and you go, well, I had one really fantastic life group, but then the others, I couldn't stand them. You know, most of them just sort of complained and moaned, and the person I was praying with last time had terrible halitosis, and they sort of do this and that, and it's not really what I want. So, do you know, I've grown out of life groups. Well, I think there's an alarm bell going there for you. It's about growing in Christ, friends. We need to find how we can do that. He's calling us to grow into maturity. So he says this: continue to live in Him, rooted and built up, strengthened in the faith you were taught and overflowing with thankfulness. So what do we need to do to grow into maturity? First of all, friends, we need to work on the hidden. Paul writes, continue to live in Him, rooted and built up in Him. This is an oak tree. I used to worship at a church called Oak Tree, which is interesting, but it has nothing to do with what I'm talking about. An oak tree, a friend of mine told me once, an oak tree has an average life of about 900 years. An oak tree spends the first 300 years of its life growing to maturity. Then spends the next 300 years living in maturity, and the last 300 years dying. Boy, that's a slow death, isn't it? What does a tree do when it's growing to maturity? What part does it work on? It works on its root systems. I don't know if you've been in Monte Cecilia recently, but there's a tree that has blown over and it's revealed its root system, which is only about this deep. You see, when we're called to grow to maturity, the best work is done where it is not seen. Work on the hidden. You see, most of us concentrate on what we can see. Saying the right prayer, singing the right song, saying hallelujah when the sermon is being preached. Well done. Saying amen when the sermon is being preached. Thank you. Most of us concentrate on the externals. But actually, if the externals, if we concentrate only on that and nothing on the internal and the hidden, it will fall. The minute the crisis comes, it will dissolve. Jesus spoke about that, about building a house. If you build it on the sand, because it's quick to do, when the storm comes, build it on the rock, and it will withstand the outrageous slings and arrows that are thrown at us. Yes? Because they will be thrown at us. If we work on the root system of our life and our spirituality, we will withstand. This is the Burj Khalifa. It is, I've been told that it is beyond 12 meters in height. I've been told that it is 830 meters tall, which is nearly a kilometer. Quite tall, really. Now, the Burj Khalifa was started, the first bit of ground was disturbed to start to build it in January 2004. There was no work done above the ground until March 2005. They worked on the foundations for over a year. What they did was this. They put 1.5 meter steel pylons 50 meters into the ground. 192 of them all around the base of what they were intending to build. They put 45,000 metric tons of concrete into the foundations. Engineers will say the higher you want to go, the deeper you have to dig. And friends, the higher you want to go in Christ, the deeper you need to dig when nobody is watching. Your spiritual life in Christ must go deeper. And what was happening in the church in Colossae is they were not being rooted and established in Christ. What they were doing was just bolting on some stuff in hope to get a nice spiritual feeling. There's no shortcuts to maturity. Listening to me preach will not bring you to maturity. But it may rebuke you in Jesus' name. Investing in the invisible. What does the invisible look like? Ha! The invisible looks like what you do when you wake up in the morning. What you listen to. Do you fill your ears and your eyes with the worship of Jesus? Do you invest in that? I work all day with worship music on. Because I know that it does something to my soul. It builds me up. You know, cutting crew or the latest sort of thing that's going on. Great rhythms, guys, but feed the soul with Christ. That's the hidden work. Dig deep in prayer. Dig deep in prayer privately. Dig deep in prayer corporately. Build on your life in Christ, because Christ is the only foundation that will keep you pointing true north. You, no shortcuts. Are there any shortcuts? No, there are no shortcuts. So friends, first of all, work on the hidden. Secondly, strengthen yourself in Jesus. Strengthen yourself in the faith. This actually requires me to do something. It's not a passive thing. I've started to go to the gym. Of course, you can tell, can't you? I go to the gym, and I've been given this regime. It would be foolish of me to go into a gym and try something. I'm 52 years old. I'm in injury management more than bodybuilding. Honestly, you just try something, and I've already sort of herniated something. It's extraordinary. So I go to someone who knows what they're doing. So they gave me this regime that's fantastic. So I've been doing this all the time. The sweat pouring off and everything like that. Then a friend of mine came up, and he was junior Mr. Wellington bodybuilder a number of years ago.
Come with me, I will show you.
So he came and he showed me, and he says, oh yeah, that's a good regime, but actually you're doing all that stuff there is completely unnecessary. There are many things in our life that we're doing that are completely unnecessary for maturity. He says, come and do this. Come and watch. So we watched him and did this. I can't do that. He says, yes, you can. No, I can't. Yes, you can. Watch. I'll show you. I did it. And then we did some other weights. And he said, those weights are too light for you. I said, but they're the ones I know. He says, you can do more. And friends, I wonder if sometimes in our spirituality, we have stayed with the same weight for far too long. We have sort of maintained something, and now it's easy, it's maintainable. But there's no sense of stretch. There's no sense of strengthening. And friends, you and I are called to be strengthened in the Lord. Don't let yourself off. Don't become absent. I won't say that. That's just not appropriate. And it's from that place, built up in him, rooted and established in him, strengthen him in his faith as you were taught. Let's not add anything on to Jesus. Overflowing with thankfulness. Don't underestimate the power of a thankful heart. Do you know, if life is not going well and things just aren't happening for you, thank God for what is happening. Cultivate an attitude of gratitude. So what happens from then, friends? Well, we've worked on the head in, we've strengthened ourselves in Christ, we've been to the gym. Yeah, absolutely. But watch out, he says. It's from this place that we then are able to watch. See, unless we do all the pre-work, all the stuff that we bolt on will dominate. We need to watch out. There are two things, well, there are actually three things that we need to watch out for. The first one is watch out for bolt-ons. They're great on our phone, but they're not great in our spiritual life. See to it that no one takes you captive through hollow and deceptive, verse 8, philosophy, which depends on human tradition and the elemental spiritual forces of this world rather than on Christ. Beware, friends, that no one takes you captive. The Greek word there is syllogogon. And actually, theologians have been saying this is probably a pun on words from syllogogon to synagogon. In other words, he's saying, guys, you've been redeemed in Christ, and yet there's some of you wanting to recapture some of Judaism. And it's not that actually that is wrong, but actually what Judaism it does is it denies who Jesus is. Anything that denies who Jesus is takes you away from Christ. Don't bolt on anything to Jesus. He is sufficient. And if you're feeling a sense of dissatisfaction or unsettledness because of Jesus, it's because your root system's not deep enough. Dig into him. A blended faith is no faith. Friends, Jesus plus something equals less than Jesus. Jesus plus nothing is everything. Because that's all who we need. It is all about Christ. Because why? Verse 10, verse 9. For in Christ, all the fullness of the deity lives in bodily form. If we could just stop on that and live in that. All the fullness of God lives in Christ in bodily form. He is the be-all and end-all, the A to Z and beyond. You have been given fullness in Christ. Boom! In Jesus is the fullness of the deity, and you have been given fullness in Christ. Most of us live short of that understanding. You have been given fullness, not someness, fullness in Christ Jesus, and you have been raised with him through your faith in the power of God. It requires an action to have faith in the resurrecting work through baptism of what Christ has done for you. So watch out for bolt-ons, guys. They don't work. Secondly, watch out for do-nots. Watch out for the don'ts. Oh, don't do this. Verse 20, since you died with Christ to the basic principles of this world, hello, basic principles of this world are not the principles of God. Earthly wisdom is not godly wisdom. Why is it, as though you still belong to it, do you submit to its rules of don't handle, don't do this, don't do that, don't know? Do you know, if we live with a faith that is based on no, we'll never hear the yes and amen of Jesus. Beware, friends, of a faith that is rooted and established in don't. Don't do this. Don't do that. It's not good. So be careful. Don't do the don'ts. I know it's a double negative. Watch out, finally, friends, for strange worship. Oh, my goodness me. Verse 16. Therefore, do not let anyone judge you by what you eat or drink or regards to a festival or a new moon celebration or a Sabbath day. These are shadows of the things to come. Paul is saying that Judaism in itself is a shadow of what is to come. There is more, and it is fulfilled in Christ. The reality is found in Christ. So do not let anyone who delights in false humility. I'm possibly the most humble person I know. I'm going to write a book on it, Humility and How I Achieved It, A Chronicle of Greatness. Pre-orders are taken now with Shami. Don't let anyone who delights in false humility and the worship of angels disqualify you from the prize. Such a person goes into great detail about what they've seen, and the great unspiritual mind puffs themselves up with idle notions. Boom. They have lost connection with the head. How do you keep connected to the head? You stay part of the body. But actually, Jesus is the whole point. Church without Christ is not church. It must be Jesus. You see, turn over from my page. Such regulations indeed have the appearance of wisdom with their self imposed worship. Friends, the greatest worship that you could do is to worship Jesus with everything that you've got. How that works out for you is your business, but don't sell your worship short. Give him everything that you've got, but it doesn't require standing on one hand or leg or going like this in order to really encounter the power and presence of God. Watch out for those that would say this is the only way, because Jesus is the only way. Friends, be rooted and established in the one who gives us everything. Continue in Christ. Grow to maturity in him. Don't lose connection with the head. The minute that stuff's bubbling up, dig deeper, because our life will then grow greater for him. Shall we stand? Holy Spirit, we invite you now to search us.